1 Corinthians chapter 16. The term opportunity is a fairly common term and a very important term, especially as regards our service to God. Opportunities. An important concept, an often used term. In fact, did you hear Adam use that term in his prayer? He prayed as we always should, and especially in regard to our vacation Bible school, which begins tomorrow night, that the Lord would help us to take full advantage of these opportunities that will be before us. That's what our service to God really ought to be. Looking for and taking advantage of the opportunities. Dictionary.com defines opportunity as an appropriate or favorable occasion. Life holds a lot of opportunities of all different kinds. They may vary in scope or magnitude depending upon a lot of different factors. We have often referred to this land in which we live as the land of opportunity. Winston Churchill once said, "A pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity, while an optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty." Which one are you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to begin reading in verse 5 as we read from near the close of Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, which was probably actually at least his second letter. We don't have any record of the one that preceded this one, though he does make reference to the fact that he had written to them before. And here he says, "But I will come to you," beginning at verse 5, "I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I'm going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits." Paul says, you know, as I'm on this journey here, making my rounds through all of these places, probably on the third missionary journey, he's lingered long in several places, and he says, "I'm going to be passing through Macedonia, and I really do want to come by Corinth and see you folks, and I'd like to spend the winter with you. I don't want to just stop in for a day or two and then move on." But he says, "If the Lord permits, I want to spend some time there." I believe Paul is tired. He's had a hard time on this journey. He's accomplished a lot. He's made a lot of stops. He's spent a lot of time in places. And he says this in verse 8, "But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." That's reading from the English Standard, or the New American Standard Version, I believe, from some of the other translations. In fact, one of them actually does use the word opportunity. A wide door of opportunity. A good opportunity for a great and growing work has been given to me. The New Century Version has it. Paul says, "You know, I'm going to come, but I want to stay here in Ephesus for a little while." And we know that he wound up staying for a long while. He says, because there are some really great opportunities here. The adversary is great. Think about what we know about the city of Ephesus. It was one of the most prevalent cities in that day, a seacoast town, great and important in trade and commerce, and had a lot of people from all over the known world coming there and doing business and so forth, and it was home to that great, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the temple to the goddess Diana. It was one of the most wicked places on the earth, and the worship of the idol goddess Diana was a system of worship that sanctioned prostitution and incorporated all sorts of immorality into the actual temple worship that they engaged in. You can imagine what kind of place Ephesus was with all of that going on. And in fact, you remember some of the turmoil that is described to us in the book of Acts regarding Paul's time there and how great difficulty reared up against him. And you might ask yourself, you know, if there were somewhere that a preacher really wanted to go in order to preach and find a place where he would have some folks who were really receptive, surely Ephesus wouldn't be that place. And yet Paul says, I'm in Ephesus now, and I'm going to stay here till Pentecost, at least, because a wide door for effective service, a great door of opportunity has opened for me, and there are many adversaries. You could actually take that statement from Paul's writings there and find 3 points that would probably make a good sermon, though it's not the one I'll preach tonight. Paul had great opportunity. He had great obligation. You can tell that from what he says, because he says, I can't go now. I've got to stay here. There's a big opportunity, and opportunity places an obligation on me. But there was also great opposition. Opportunities, obligations, opposition. But let's think about opportunities in general. You ever have any opportunities presented to you? If you say no or think, well, I don't have very many opportunities, you really need this sermon, and I'm so glad you came tonight, because one of the things that we all need to realize is that we have tons and tons of opportunities every day presented to us, and often we don't even recognize those opportunities. Opportunities are given to us by God. The Bible talks about a great many opportunities that we may have. In fact, the Bible discusses opportunities again and again and again, and even doesn't use the word very much. In fact, in all of the New Testament, in the King James Version, the word opportunity only occurs 5 times. And yet it's told again and again in almost every chapter, particularly in the book of Acts, regarding opportunities. The word isn't there, but the concept is there. Even in the Old Testament, Jeremiah was talking about opportunities that had slipped away. He said in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." You can remember a little bit about Jeremiah and his work as he begged and pleaded with God's people to turn from their wickedness and to repent, because there was coming a time when they were going to be carried away into captivity if they didn't change, and that time is almost upon them when he says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We still haven't done what we need to do." He was talking about opportunities that they'd had to change, to do the right thing. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10, Jesus tells us about those foolish virgins who missed the opportunity to enter into the wedding feast. The word opportunity doesn't occur there in Matthew chapter 25, but the story of the parable of the virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, is a story about opportunities. The foolish virgins neglected the opportunity to prepare themselves, and the 5 wise virgins took advantage of the opportunity to prepare themselves. Thus, they were ready to go into the feast when the foolish virgins were gone off trying to find some oil to buy for their lamps that had gone out. Later on there in Matthew chapter 25, we read about the parable of the talents and that one talent man who had the opportunity to invest, to earn something with his master's money, and yet he did not take advantage of the opportunity. What did he do? He went and hid that money in the ground that belonged to his master, so that when his master came back, he was able to say, "Oh, I knew you were a hard man. Gathering where you haven't sown, reaping where you haven't strown. I was afraid, so I hid your money. And here it is." You remember, he was described as a wicked and lazy servant because he didn't take advantage of the opportunity that was presented to him. And even still further there in Matthew chapter 25, as Jesus depicts the judgment scene in verses 42 to 46, he tells of those who will be turned away because they have squandered the opportunities to serve. He says, "I was hungry, you gave me no food. Thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, you visited me not." And they'll say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison or didn't minister to you?" And of course the Lord says, "I'll say, inasmuch as you saw one of the least of these and did not do it to them, you did not do it to me." In other words, you passed those opportunities by to do those good things. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 and 41, we find the disciples there with Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, sleeping while the Lord was praying, pouring out His soul to the Heavenly Father. In fact, Jesus comes back to them and He says, "Could you but not stay with me? Could you not but stay awake for 1 hour?" They had missed the opportunity to be of service and of comfort to the Lord in the most difficult hours of His life. In Luke chapter 19, verses 41 and 42, we find Jesus lamenting over the city of Jerusalem, and He talks about the fact that their wickedness would bring about their destruction, and He implies that they have had opportunity after opportunity to accept Him and embrace Him and the truth, but now their opportunities were about to be gone. Where did all of those opportunities come from? God ushered them along into the lives of each of those characters. It was God who had given Judah opportunity after opportunity to repent and be restored. It was God who gives us opportunities to prepare ourselves. And we have the ability to be like the wise in the parable of the virgins. Many, though, will choose to be like the foolish. It is God who gives us the talents and the abilities and the money and the resources to be productive in this life and to render service to His kingdom. Many people will refuse to use those to multiply the resources for the Lord. And on we could go, showing parallel after parallel to these Bible stories to our lives today. And the realization needs to come to us that God blesses us again and again and again with opportunities. And tomorrow night, as we begin to bring in those folks to the Vacation Bible School that's been in preparation for a while, how many of us will be watching for the opportunities to be influential, to be instrumental in helping to guide and lead and instruct young and old? No two ways about it. We need to do a better job of seeing those opportunities and acting upon them. And so let's conclude our thoughts this evening with three ways to prepare or opportunity. Number one, be alert. If we cannot recognize the opportunities as they come along before us, they'll obviously be missed. If we're so busy with the lesser things of this life, we may not recognize the opportunities that are before us. Opportunities are hard to recognize if you're spending all your time looking for loopholes. In other words, if you're studiously searching for ways to avoid involvement, if you're looking for ways to avoid participation, if you're looking for ways to avoid accountability, you're never going to be able to recognize the opportunities that are there in your path. Be alert. Number two, be diligent. A very important part of diligence is availability. We could illustrate it this way. Back there in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus taught the parable of the virgins, the five foolish virgins were not diligent in preparing themselves, and thus when the opportunity came along, they were distracted after something else that they had failed to do when they first should have done it. We need to make sure that we're available when the opportunities come along, and yet a lot of folks are going to be tied up with this or that or the other. Perhaps those folks in Matthew chapter 25 that Jesus described in the judgment scene, just perhaps they were too busy to serve others, and thus heard the Lord say, "Depart from me." Perhaps Judah was too busy to set things right with God back in the days of Jeremiah. Perhaps the disciples were too busy to stay awake and watch there with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Maybe the one talent man was too preoccupied to take that money of his master's and at the very least invest it and earn some more. But you know, I doubt any of those folks were too busy to accomplish those things. I think they were too distracted, and thus they were not diligent. Sometimes diligence involves making sure we stay focused on the problem. I have read that when NASA first began to explore space, they quickly determined that a typical ink pen wouldn't work in zero gravity. And in true government fashion, Anderson Consulting was hired to develop the right pen to use in the space program by the astronauts as they went up into space in zero gravity. And it took about 10 years and $12 million, which actually was a pretty good deal in by today's standards anyway. But after 10 years and $12 million, they finally came up with a pen that will write in zero gravity. It'll write upside down, underwater, on any surface, and in any temperature range from freezing to 300 degrees centigrade. You may remember, along about that time, we were in competition with the Russians in racing to see who could be first in outer space. They saved their research and development money when it came to the ink pen problem, and they just gave their astronauts pencils. Yeah, pencils. You know, if we're so busy and distracted over the little unimportant things that we miss the opportunities that come along to do the really crucial things, we may even find ourselves too busy to listen and pay attention when the Lord comes. Be diligent. Number three, be wise. Be wise enough to know how to use those opportunities. be wise enough to give God the glory for those opportunities. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Let me read it to you in the New Living Translation. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Jesus speaks of opportunity in John chapter 4, verse 35, when he said, the fields are white already unto harvest. It's recorded again in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, where he said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let's be sure that we're watchful for the opportunities that come before us, for they are many. Let's use them. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.